Yo, yo. What up? What up? Yo. What up? What up? Hey. Hey, welcome. Welcome to Benny's Crib. What up? Yeah, just leave your shoes over there. It's cool. Yeah, thanks. Does that sound cool? Yo. Yo, what up? Welcome to Benny's Crib.
Friends, we are here, Portland, Maine. Another beautiful night.
Yes.
It's humid, but it's tremendous. We're all drinking tea again. It's becoming the new trend here at Benny's Crib. And more importantly, I'm here with a 207 artist currently, or 207 based artist currently, a New England artist, an artist on the verge of doing some really dope shit this weekend. Producer, MC, toy maker, representative of the Ruby Yacht, the young Pink Naval. How are we?
I'm good. I'm doing good.
It's tremendous. You know?
The tea is good. So what else can I say? The tea is delicious.
Yeah, you enticed me to sip the tea myself.
It's good, right? It took a couple sips to really get into, like, all of the tea of it. The first few were a little more watery.
It's bold in the beginning because it's mostly water. I want to get that.
Right, but once you get into it, it's really like it really coats the throat, which is, I guess, as advertised.
That's true. That is true. All right. I feel very settled in now. Shout out to T.
Mm-hmm.
New album. Streaming Saturday. Big things on the way. We'll get to that briefly, honestly. But we always start these podcasts with the early stuff. You've been here before, though.
I've been here twice.
Excitingly twice, honestly. Right. And each time has been different, though. First time was with Al and SB The Moor.
Mm-hmm.
Second time was audio only.
Mm-hmm.
Because pandemic shit.
Right.
And then this time, it's video. So
video.
We had to hit all three.
It's footage.
And we got important things to promote here, you know. We're always advocating for the Ruby Yacht. And like I said, we'll talk about Epic, your new album coming out on Saturday. Before that, I just want to confirm some very important subjects. Crank That by Soulja Boy and Pimp My Ride were very influential in your early hip-hop memories. Is that correct?
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, I think I said that the first time I was here, which is actually a really funny answer now that I go back and think about that. Mm. But I think...
Why is it?
Like, why I said that? I think I said that because I was trying to think of, like, really bare bones, like, the first things, the first time I was ever exposed to hip-hop culture at all. And I think that is what it, I think that would still be my answer, is, like, watching Pimp My Ride and experiencing Crank That by Soulja Boy. Yeah.
That's a good word for it, experiencing. The Soulja Boy takeover was real in that time.
Right, it was real. It was real. It was real. But I would also like to amend my answer in some way.
Because
I would love to then say my first memory of hip-hop actively, me actively searching it and reaching it out was probably many years after that watching this YouTube show called Knock Steady Live, which is kind of a precursor to what Kind of Neat is now. I don't know if you know of those sessions, the Kind of Neat sessions.
Rings a bell.
But Knock Steady Live was like a different show that happened before that. And that's where I discovered a lot of the rappers that I know and are influenced by in my own work.
Oh, there we go.
Right, right. So that's my, like, that's my updated version of the answer.
I appreciate that.
Right.
It was making me, your answer was making me think about just the interesting television that we were exposed to growing up. Because I think I'm a couple of years older than you. I'm 27.
Bet.
Excuse me. But it was just such a weird crossover between hip-hop and pop culture back in, our youth, in a sense, in terms of what you could watch for TV.
Right.
Like, you could have, I saw The Lox playing on Nickelodeon. Like, Jadakiss is rapping an amended, censored verse, but killing it, and there's just... I don't know, 6 to 11-year-olds just in the front smiling. Like, this was what an era to be a part of, in a sense. It's just such a weird duality of cultures to be intermingled in.
I feel you. I feel you. And it persists, like...
Oh, heavy.
Stuff like that still happens. Like, I was still kind of young. I must have been 10 or 11 when Hip Hop Harry was, like, a thing.
Mm.
I don't know if you know Hip Hop Harry.
What? Was that on YouTube?
No, it was like a real show. Hip Hop Harry was a real show, and it was essentially like Barney. Like, it was Barney, but hip hop.
Oh, the bear.
Right.
Yeah, I've seen Hip Hop. Hip Hop Harry,
but he kind of had a rebirth on TikTok.
Maybe that's where I've seen that.
Yeah. In like the modern age, he's been reborn. On TikTok.
I think I saw like pandemic streams of him last year.
Right. Yes, because he kind of had a comeback. Hip Hop Harry had a comeback, but I must have been 10 or 11, maybe 12 when he was on the television.
Mm.
And then even after that, Yo Gabba Gabba, you know,
Bismarck
with Bismarckie.
All right. Yeah. This is a moment of silence. The Bismarckie.
Right.
Quick. We'll do a quick couple seconds. 1, 2, 3. Thank you, Bismarcky.
Hmm.
Yo Gabba Gabba also was hip-hop influenced,
mm-hmm.
which is interesting. That's a really good point. You make me think about it, too, because maybe the 90s was such an interesting era of hip-hop in the mainstream because, you know, like a lot of the classic artists that people go back and listen to in the 90s were heavily involved in the mainstream because they were selling records.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, you're probably not going to see, I don't know, like Billy Woods in Fortnite like you're going to see Travis Scott, for instance, in today's world. Even though,
wow, okay, that's fascinating.
Even though, it's actually kind of a bad example because Billy Woods probably isn't going to be like, you know, played on Hot 97 modern radio like in New York as much as he should be. I just equate like, you know, dopest rappers of the now to always the biggest for the 90s. Not always, don't get me wrong. Like, there's not, oh shit, low battery. Hold up, folks. I come prepared.
Oh, you're a genius.
Oh shit. I'm kind of slipping, but...
Oh, but you got to plug it into your dongle?
Yeah.
Whoa.
I need a little bit of girth here and a little bit of length. There we go.
Apple really on that.
I know.
Sorry to get too...
break my train of thought here, but you got to be... we can't be breaking this shit.
That's crazy.
But when I think about a lot of my favorite 90s rappers, they were huge. Like, you know, Biggie, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
One of the biggest rappers of all time. I think of a lot of today's my favorite rappers. It could be an age thing, for sure. But like I said, you're not going to see, you know, Billy Woods or maybe like Ka or somebody like that in, you know, getting a McDonald's deal. And it's just interesting to see like how I think younger and younger audiences are getting targeted more for hip hop, maybe.
Yeah, I think it's just it's a progression of the style, you know, because back in the 90s, that was the newest thing, was to rap in that way.
That's true.
And now these days, that is no longer the newest thing.
It's old school.
You know, it's old school, quote, you know, air like finger quotes. That's old school.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I don't know. I think that just saying that, it's like, of course, like the most famous, most cracking, most interesting to the youngest generation is not going to be what was that in the 90s.
Mm.
But obviously, there's still love and passion for all those styles.
1,000%.
You know, so clearly there's rappers that are still upholding certain traditions and practices mm-hmm. all over the world in different ways. So it's like, that's an interesting distinction.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just interesting topic in general to think about the progression of hip hop becoming, you know, part of like the dominant hegemony and just like culture of America. Like mm-hmm. one of the most prevalent themes that I've realized in this podcast is when I ask people, you know, what's your first memory of hip hop? What are your earliest memories? Most of them derive from hip hop's always been around. Like if you're under 30 years old, hip hop has pretty much been in the culture forever. Like you'll see it on TV and commercials, hear it in car radios, I feel like.
Right. And the spirit of it and the sonic influence has bled to, I would say, every other genre of music.
1,000%.
Every single other genre of music. You've got dudes rapping on the Jonas Brothers songs.
Yeah.
Like, their manager has a verse on Burning Up, you know? And then you've got 808s on country songs.
Or even, like, rapping on country songs.
You got rapping on country songs.
Back in a minute, like, minutes ago, like, Nelly and Tim McGraw.
Oh, you are right.
What was that?
Over
and over again?
Yo, wow, that's so true.
And there's that cringy R. Kelly. Oh, excuse me, not R. Kelly. Another older artist, though.
R. Kelly is cringy, though.
That's a whole different rabbit hole to get.
That's like a different kind of cringe, though.
Yeah, there's cringe, there's creep, there's filth. I mean,
it's cringe, there's creep, there's filth.
I don't want to get into R. Kelly. Apologies. Yes. I was thinking of LL Cool J. I didn't mean to equate both of them. Sometimes in my brain, I lump things together, like, based on when I discovered artists.
Hmm.
I think I discovered those two, like, at the same time period in my life. So sometimes I just think like them. But regardless of that fact, LL Cool J did another cringy, who's that motherfucker? Brad Paisley, maybe? I forget. There's been a lot of country.
Mike Posner? No, Mike Posner is not a country artist.
He was
artist.
That cooler than me
right.
artist.
Right, right.
Regardless of the fact, hip-hop's everywhere, B.
Mm-hmm.
It's in the mainstream.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're advertising hip-hop to make kids eat cereal. I remember there was like a breakfast time rap that I saw on YouTube when I was younger.
I mean, Reese's Puffs, peanut butter chocolate flavor.
Oh, I had like 7 different finalized statements. I was going to say like Finn, game, set, match. My point exactly. But I couldn't pick which one I wanted to say. My brain just froze. So insert all 3 of those.
Right.
Exactly. Reese's Puffs.
Right. Mm. That's like one of the catchiest hip hop songs on TV.
Bars.
It's bars. I mean, Hamburger Helper. Do you know about this Hamburger Helper EP?
Watch the Stove?
Right.
Have you seen the...
And that's good.
There's a...
And I like to listen to it.
Bobby Raps, I believe, is the artist who did some of the songs. I could be tripping. Mm-hmm. But I remember there's a video of him on a stage, and they are standing next to a giant-sized Hamburger Helper costume. And he's like, whip it, whip it. Whip it, whip it up. And he's like, add the water, then I'm stirring. And then, like, this is in the height of the dab era, and the fucking Hamburger Helper logo starts dabbing.
Whoa.
And it looks like a decent pit for what you think a Hamburger Helper hip-hop concert would sound like.
Whoa, the dab era.
They're making songs. Like, everyone... That's even a good point to talk about how hip-hop is everywhere. I mean, look at what was doing... And you had old-ass people in retirement homes doing geriatric dabs.
Whoa. The dab era.
It's real shit.
And that's interesting because no other dance trend has been that easy.
Anyone can really do that
for
the most part.
Anybody can do that.
Even if you don't have arms, you could probably figure out doing like a pseudo dab.
Right, but you could at least turn your head like that.
So true.
You know what I mean? That's you can true. At least do that. And it's like, that's crazy. I'm thinking about all these other dances. I mean, now TikTok dances, like, are very complex. Like, learning
it's
a TikTok
wild.
Dance is a thing.
It's almost more like a routine.
You would
routine.
Need to really send it if you wanted to do a TikTok dance completely. Those are tough.
Have you seen, like, tweets about people doing TikTok dances, like, in the club? Like, you think about all these dances people are doing. I can't imagine at a function, like, 4 people in unison, like, doing, like, a
doing the exact... But it's crazy because then you build a lexicon of movement. So, like,
that's
you could
true.
See, and I mean, I've seen TikToks like this where you'll have somebody in public filming a TikTok dance, and then a stranger is walking by, and they're like, oh, I know that dance. And they jump in, and they're doing the exact same
Whoa.
Move, and it's exactly right.
Youth culture.
I mean, those might be staged, but I honestly don't believe it. I believe that it's genuine. And that's crazy.
Yeah, some probably are staged, but I mean, there's definitely motherfuckers that are knowing what the moves are and they're hopping.
And jumping in, yeah, that's totally happening.
And think about if you know the moves and you see that you're on camera, you're like, I'm gonna do some dope shit, and I'm gonna make this video, and then maybe I'll be like in a viral video, you know?
Right.
You never
right.
know.
Right, and the ones I've seen are, they do numbers.
It's interesting. I do wonder, I'm glad we're having these conversations, because I talked to you a good amount on Wax, and I do want to talk about Epic and some of the dope shit you've done this year and what's to come, but I knew that we'd have some good tangent discussions on things because we have a lot of similar interests, I feel like.
Right.
And for instance, I was just thinking about like TikTok and or not even TikTok, social media, that urge when you're young to want to go viral. I mean, we kind of started to experience that, I think, with the whole early, because we got to see YouTube be created.
Mm-hmm.
We got to see Instagram be created, TikTok. Mm-hmm. Get created. I mean, TikTok's not even that recent. Smartphones get created, like, you know.
It's more recent than you'd think, though.
How recent?
Well, there was an app during the Vine era. There was an app called Musical.ly.
I think I've heard of
right?
that.
Right, and Musical.ly was a lip sync video app. You would play music and lip sync to it.
Mm.
And the way that the videos were filmed, they would film the video slower. In slow motion, so that when it was exported or posted, it would have this weird, it would have a weird pace to it, like a weird speed.
Yeah.
Because they'd film it in slow motion, then bring it back up to normal speed.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was around in as early as 2016.
Damn.
Yeah.
So that's less than 5 years, man.
Yeah. Right.
Or right
but
around.
That became TikTok.
Years later.
years later.
Whoa, so TikTok's even younger than that.
Right.
Hypothetically, as a brand itself.
Right, but I mean the app, like what I'm saying is the app, like people who had Musical.ly on their phone, one day got an update and it was the name changed and it was called TikTok.
They're like, damn, that's almost like, you know, you find a rapper when they drop like their first song.
And they've changed their name.
And then they change their name and they blow up to be like huge or something. And you're like, I was there. I was there when TikTok was going by Musical.ly.
Exactly.
Interesting. I wonder, I do wonder too, if there is going to be like a long-term shift in like the way people think like at a young age in terms of these apps. Because I feel like I learned, everyone's different for sure, but I feel like I learned a lot about the world through a lot of like the media that I had a lot of first impressions of things that I hadn't been exposed to physically in terms of culture.
Right.
Through media, through internet, through TV, through movies.
Mm-hmm.
Those kind of things. And then now, those aren't as prevalent, like, goddamn fucking freight train moving through the hood. Things aren't as prevalent, though, like that anymore, in terms of cable, in terms of, you know, VCR, in terms of, like, even people like getting DVDs. It's like a lot of content that youngins get to consume is through their phones. And maybe it's even, like, faster paced, too, in a sense of your options. And I wonder if that will, like, potentially change the way you just view parts of culture that you then get to experience through your phone first. So I feel like your phone's almost like a coagulation of all the dope shit that I had separately at once. Like it's a VCR, my computer, like and cable, and even like a book all at once.
Right.
That's wild. And I almost like am interested to see like what if I had that when I was a kid? Like what the fuck, like what would I be able to do with that shit?
Well, yeah, I mean I think the young people, the younger people than me that I see on TikTok and other places on social media, they're extremely creative, extremely bright, extremely 100%. Interesting. Like, I'm always seeing interesting things that kids, like younger people are doing.
Youngins.
On the internet. I've always been an advocate for, like, web creativity.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I feel like I am who I am because I got to be creative a lot on computers and shit growing up.
Mm-hmm. But now the tools are different now.
It's just so, like, you can get a lot more knowledgeable and potentially gain a skill set a lot quicker, I think, in certain fields than at least when I was a young and doing this stuff. And it's just very interesting to see how that translates then to, like, the interesting diversity of creativity that you were mentioning. It's just so cool to see what they can think of.
Yeah, like, back to what you were saying about how we saw YouTube get created and come up. We come from an era where being famous on the internet was still a stupid idea.
Yeah.
You know, that's where we come from. Like, we're that was still silly. But even now, the now generation, every corporation, every company, every brand is up to speed. And they're like, no, this is a real thing now. You know? So even people that were born in 2000, people that were born in 2005, understand that. They're like, oh, I can really just post on YouTube and I can, you know, buy my mom a house. But, like, from where we're from, that was still a weird idea, so there was a lot of warming up to it. But now we're at a point where pretty much everybody in the world understands that there is that type of power in it.
So much. And I feel like it's in so many different more fields. Like, I think about, like, all those, like, machinima, like, Call of Duty videos that were, like, dominating YouTube back in, like, 2010, 2011. And I felt like there were certain, like, niche fields where, like, you could really maybe, you know, rack in a killing and be pretty popular.
But now it's universal.
It's almost like the post-vlog world has opened it up to anything, like any part of your lifestyle that people, because think about it, if everyone globally, or not everyone, but if hypothetically speaking, any part of the world with access to the internet and lack of censorship from like an authoritarian government can access YouTube, that means anyone with a similar interest, regardless of where you're at, can connect with something.
Right.
Especially if it's just you, like, you know, displaying your hobby and it's not much spoken word, then you even can get through like language barriers and you can literally have people across the whole world from different cultures and dialects like enjoying something consciously together. And it's just so powerful, like, because like you said, like,
which goes back to TikTok dances, because that dance is a borderless language.
That's true.
You know, the music plays and you do the dance. That is, no, you don't need any translation there.
That's so true.
Right.
Now you're just, and TikTok is, I believe, was that app developed in China?
I don't know where it's from, yeah, but maybe.
I think it's maybe international, even right, just to show like the influence it has in America, and it's right, not even an American
that is very true
app.
That's very true. That's damn, very true.
Technology has fucking, like, it's almost, sometimes I forget to really view the shit third person because I use it every day, but, I mean, look, we got two mics, laptop, GoPro, mm-hmm, we each have a phone, Tristan probably has a camera, multiple lenses, there's SD cards, there's batteries. Right. I got a cassette tape right there. I got
generations.
I mean, it's just
media,
like, holy shit, it's just like,
right,
this shit is so second nature to us that I forget about how transformative the past 2.5 decades have been in our technological era we're in.
Right.
Mind blowing, yo. Mm-hmm. Well, anyway, shout out Dope Tangents. I want to now swerve to another cool technological advancement in the music world, an epic one, pun intended. We're here to promote Epic, your new album that drops on Saturday.
Yeah.
And that's going to be a live stream. Where you, actually, what time is it, too?
Oh, I think it's like 8 o'clock.
8 o'clock? I can pull up the flyer real quick.
Yeah, I actually don't know what time it is. I've been promoting it like crazy, but I have never written out what time the stream starts.
I thought I saw it on one of your posters, though, that you had created.
Yeah, I think I did write it down. It could be 8:30.
Yeah, I think there's an 8 in it. I do believe that.
It's definitely 8 or 8:30 for sure.
All right, now I'm going on my Instagram because I
but
posted
anyway,
it earlier.
Yeah, SB The Moor is...
8:30.
8:30. SB The Moor is opening.
Ooh.
My homie, my close friend, SB.
Ruby Yacht Ambassador.
Ruby Yacht Ambassador, my friend, my sibling in this rap game.
Very talented
putting
individual.
Putting on a show. Very, very talented individual.
Benny's Crib alumni guest.
Benny's Crib alumni.
Sat on the floor. Maybe had the most composed, cool swagger out of most guests I've seen.
Yeah, I love
They made it. Benny's Crib their own.
Yeah, I love Christian's energy so much.
Oh, it's necessary. Especially mm-hmm. their live performance energy is...
near and dear to my heart. Yeah, yeah. But anyway, they're putting up a great performance pre-recorded. I'm putting up a great performance. We're both going to do our thing.
Hell
you know?
Yeah.
It's going to be cool. This cool filmed event.
The album Epic is being ripped from the live stream. That audio is being put on wax, I believe. Is
right.
That...
So the audio from the live stream is the record.
That's the album. That's no studio. This is the
studio. There's no studio version. Well, there is a studio version that I made. That I have, but I will not be putting it out.
It's like your rehearsals.
Right, it's like my rehearsal.
And then maybe in 15 years, when you got to make a little bit more Skrilla on the side, you put out the lost Pink
right,
Nasal tape.
Right, I put out the other
the
one.
Epic tape.
Right. Exactly, like the studio version of Epic. When everybody's sick of all the parts where I like move away from the mic too far and you can't really hear what I'm saying.
You're breathing in a heavy...
Right, there's definitely parts of the show. It is pre-recorded, the show. I did it. At Space in the basement, Space Gallery here in Portland, Maine. I did it in the green room basement.
Got you.
And my friends Ryan and Emily and Ian and Peter, they helped me out a lot. So shout out to them. Shout out to y'all.
So
yeah.
It was technically a live stream, but it was just live streamed in the past, and then you're going to play it.
Right. And that honestly, so I would love to go into why I chose to do that.
Yeah, speak on that.
Yeah, my initial idea was for it to be live streamed, but for two reasons, one of them being financially, I could not do that because I wanted the setup to be very professional.
Mm.
I wanted to have at least two cameras cutting back and forth from each other, stuff like that, and like the audio to sound good, and I couldn't really afford to get the team to do that live stream style.
Yeah, that's a lot of work. That's like a high production value
right.
event.
So we went with the pre-recorded. And the other reason is it's kind of just a safety net, like in case I messed up. Like it is one take, but in case I messed up.
You never know what happens, yo.
Right. It
what
is going to be my record.
Someone on set had a bad lunch and they get food poisoning. Mm-hmm. And God forbid, a health accident occurs.
Could you imagine?
You could be putting that, you could call it like, you know, food poisoning skit on the album maybe, but what are you going to do, yo?
I guess I could have, but you know, it was just, I mean, I didn't want to get too muddled into like the ideas of pre-recording it in the sense of like doing each song and taking a break. Like it is one full take, me just going in. I don't take breaks.
So you took that was a one take recording.
Right.
Ooh.
Right.
So you did fulfill the purpose of the mission.
Exactly.
But you were just being, as an artist, you have to do this now in the modern age because of how expensive shit is. you were making a smart financial decision.
Right, I was being a little responsible.
But then you completed the mission at the same time, proving that you could have done this live.
Right, and that was the idea. It was like, I could have done it live. I did do it live in front of people. It is, in my brain, still live.
I would consider it, yeah.
Hell yeah. Cool. Well, thanks for chopping that up with me.
There we go.
Had to come clean, you know?
Yeah.
I've been a little vague about that part of it, but I also don't want to be a liar.
Yeah. That's a tough thing. Sometimes in life, I say you don't have to outwardly over-explain every decision, but if someone asks you a question, just tell them the truth.
Right.
That's all you got to do.
Right.
I mean, we all got to deal with a lot of shit at once.
Right.
Pre-pandemic, and then during this shit, times that by 50, yo.
That is true. But yeah, either way, I'm really excited for people to hear it. It's very cool. It's very, I think it's a different direction for my sound.
Mm.
Yeah.
And I love the idea of just how you wanted to release it. Like, what was the inspiration behind all this?
Well, I feel like that story starts with like the beginning of Epic as an idea in my work. And that stems from my album Andre's Gift and Omer Tower, where I have all these allusions to how I want to take Epic and like reclaim it as a genuine term. I feel like in modern meme culture, the word Epic is used facetiously and to mean like, oh, epic gamer, like epic chungus
sarcastically, yeah.
Moment, right? I don't like that, because epic is a word that means like the most powerful and defining poems of the human psyche.
Yeah,
the, like the epics, right? And I like that more. And like an epic as like a tale of a hero, or you like, know?
You know, I do think of some gamer throwing shade to someone who beat them in a match who like has like, you know, an ego and was like, epic win, bro, or something like
right,
that.
Right, or like, you know, there's this whole thing with like epic, I just said it before, but like epic Chungus moment, where it's like, that's like a thing. Chungus is like a meme, and epic Chungus is a thing people
You're
say.
You're always teaching me shit. I hang out with you for a little bit, and I'm always getting...
Do you know that picture of Bugs Bunny where he's like really fat?
No.
There's a Bugs Bunny fat, a fat... Just search Chungus, like you'll find it. And they call him Chungus.
I think they call him Chungus.
And Chungus, okay, this is a tangent, but Chungus was in Space Jam 2.
Really?
They put Chungus in Space
Jam
2.
That's how deep meme culture is out here.
Right.
Fucking Chungus.
They put him in it. He's
I was thinking of the dappered up Bugs Bunny with meme with a tuxedo.
Wow.
Where it's like, I wish love to all my people who reuse plastic forks growing up or something like that, and it's supposed to be like,
oh, like I wish to all a very whatever. Yeah, that's
something,
a good meme.
Yeah, it's like, you're
that's
almost
a more classic meme in my opinion.
Yeah, it's Chungus. Yeah, has more nuance.
Chungus has more nuance, absolutely. That meme, the dapper Bugs Bunny meme, is very understandable from first glance.
Oh yeah, that's,
but
like
Chungus, there's some context meme involved, like my work.
I didn't get Chungus at all. Now I'm Googling it, and I was like, oh, this is a funny looking... Sometimes you just laugh at something like, oh, now I can get why people would run with this.
Right, and that's how it starts, is it just is... The image is funny, and then it spirals. But anyway...
Yeah, back to the inspiration.
Epic. Chungus. Epic was becoming part of my world. It still is, but like it was starting with that record, Andre's Gift. And I began to call my fans the Epic Club. On Instagram, I was like, if everyone could just comment Epic on all my posts, like, that'd be funny, and then we could be the Epic Club.
I want to pause you real quick, because I had a perfect question for what you're speaking on. I said, you have used the word epic for a minute now.
Right.
And it's almost, I was saying, did the term inspire the album title, or was this all like a long-term finesse?
In my opinion, I have been on the accidental longest-term finesse of my life. Because when I wrote Epic, when I wrote it, I was like, this record is not going to be a concept album. Like, I'm done making concept albums. I've made these records that require so much context. I just want to rap. And then I finished it, and I thought about it, and I was like, damn, this is the most complex fucking contextual, like, it needs explanation. Like album I've ever made. Like,
yeah.
It goes deeper than all of them, in my opinion.
Mm. Really? But,
yeah, because it starts with me using Epic as a phrase, calling my fans the Epic Club, and then COVID starts, and I start going on Instagram Live. There was a period of time where I was living alone.
Mm.
It was not very long, but it felt like a long time. But, And I would go on Instagram Live and do this thing called Dev Outside. I would stand on my porch and I would try to get someone to talk to me for an hour.
Yep.
And it was kind of like my Instagram Live talk show.
Yep.
And I did that for a while. It was really fun. And Epic Club, like the Epic Club would all join and they would all be in the chat. And like that was like a thing we did.
And Epic Club is growing. You got some peeps here.
Shout out to the Epic Club. Shout out Slurpee. Shout out Lenzo. Shout out Tembe. Shout out Blair. I know all my Epic Club members' names. Shout out Ramos.
That's beautiful.
Right. No, but yeah, so I was doing this thing called Dev Outside, and then I moved in with my partner, and I was thinking, what would be a funny punchline? Like, this is the first finesse. This is like level one, right? Level one is like Dev Outside needs a punchline. So I will do a new show on Twitch, and I will call it Dev Inside.
I remember this.
That's like Dev Inside. Dev Inside. That was my funny joke.
The side.
And I did that. I planned it all out. I did this fun live stream. I was talking to people on the phone. My friend Kayla's band Lace Front played. It was sick. And then I was like, I like streaming on Twitch. So I just kept streaming on Twitch. And it became a more casual thing where I was making beats on the fly, flipping samples. Still taking phone calls, so my friends would call me, the Epic Club members would call me, and that's where it really took off. The Epic Club idea, like, everybody that would come to the streams, I'd have, like, a group of maybe, like, 20 folks, they would be, like, the Epic Club, and they'd come to all the streams, I'd do it, like, 3 days a week.
That's your website, too, right? Epic Club.
EpicClub.dev, yeah, that's my website, and I spawned that on this podcast.
Last summer, right?
Last summer. I was like, you just wait. I'm going to go make a website. And I dropped the link before I made the website on this podcast.
I remember that because I told you have a week.
And I really did it. Right.
You have 7 days to make a website.
Right. But anyway, yeah, so I'm doing the streams. Epic Club's enjoying it. I'm making all these beats. I did that 3 days a week for 3 months. Then my schedule changed. I still try and do it every now and again, but just not as frequently. But the Epic Club was very, very supportive of that endeavor. They would listen to the beats. They'd give me suggestions for samples to flip. People would call in. My friend Slurpee would try to prank call me all the time. And I'd be like, nah, this time, Slurpee, you didn't get me. I know it's you. That was fun. Yeah, it was a really awesome time. And I stepped away from that. I took a break from that for a while. And I looked at all my work and I had like maybe 30 or 40 beats that I just had nowhere to go.
Self-produced
beats. I made them all in front of people. And that is the precipice of finesse number two. I made all the beats in front of people. So I was like, okay, I'm going to pick all the best ones and write a record. And this record will also be performed in front of people.
The live stream.
Exactly. But it will be a bigger event. It's got to be this ticketed thing. I want to do it on Noon Chorus. So then I reach out to my homies and I try to get that coordinated. Now we're getting closer to the present, of course.
And you had been a part of Rory's or Rap Ferreira's stream a few months back, right?
Right. We did the stream where we were taking phone calls on my phone. That one?
Yes.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And that was almost like what I did on stream, too. All those beats I was playing while we were chatting with folks were beats I made on stream.
On that show too?
Not on that show, but on my previous. I brought beats that I made on my own stream.
Yeah.
Right. And yeah. Then I finish the record. I record the record in my house. I'm like memorizing it. I book the studio time to film it, and I'm like practicing every day, like running through a 30 minute album. I'm like memorizing all these transitions and samples. All the samples are TikToks. Right. Let's get
music
that callback,
or is it like vocal clips or a little bit of both?
Vocal clips, kind of, not really music, but some of it's musical, but vocal clips. Yeah. I just scrolled through my likes on TikTok for 20 minutes and recorded all the audio and chopped it up, and yeah.
Damn. That reminds me of kind of what you did on Giraffe Track, but with a more beautiful, sentimental conversation.
Right. Well, the overarching theme of my career sonically has always been finessing the dialogue sample in a new way.
Mm. Oh, I mean, I think of Raw Naval. I think your friends were.
Yep.
Like, is there a double chin conversation?
I lied to my friends and said, I want to do a podcast.
Yeah, you think you
let's
told
do
me
a podcast? Yeah. Like, let's do a podcast. And I recorded a couple podcast episodes, and I was like, psych. This is just for my album.
That's perfect. The perfect crime.
Right, the perfect crime. But that's always been my bag, is like weird dialogue. And then for Andre's gift, I wrote out a big document, and I gave people $5 if they read it and sent it to me. So that's where all those samples come from. Oh. Right.
It always adds like a mystique. It feels like you're thrown into a story that you don't know what the fuck's going on. You're like, well, I gotta keep up now. Like, what am I hearing? You know, I'm hearing these.
Right. I think the ones for Epic are interesting enough, and like, there's no like overarching tale in terms of Epic. I'm really just like rapping.
Mm.
Rapping about my life, rapping about things I'm thinking about, rapping about my reaction to the world right now. Mm. Like, it's more traditional in that sense. Got I'm not you. Like, there's no overarching tale or story I'm trying to tell.
Yeah, you said you were just trying to just pretty much snap and rap on songs. Right,
right. And that structurally is what I did, but I think overall with the project, it's my most complex concept album yet.
Just how it all worked out.
How it all worked out and how it all connects to everything going back to when I first got here in Maine, because the first thing I did in Maine was a live version, finger quotes, air quotes, a live version of my album Raw Naval.
Yeah, yeah.
And I recorded that in my room. It was all like one take. And now the last thing I'm doing in Maine is pretty much that, but like times a billion. It's all new work, recorded live, professionally filmed, ticketed event. Like, it's pretty much that, but like the grown-up version in my brain.
Whoa.
And it's going to bookend my life in Maine.
For now. For potential minute.
My time living in Maine, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Currently living in Maine. Mm-hmm. Whoa, that's very interesting. And technically, that's already been recorded, right?
It's already been recorded.
So will this be the last thing you do?
Oh, well, okay, if we're going to get into the mud, I'm playing a show at Brzozowski.
Nice.
On September 18th, and that will be my last rapper outing in Maine.
Last solo endeavor, though, is a live stream. Or not even solo, I mean, I guess headlining in a sense.
Right. That'll be my last big project.
It was almost like a sandwich.
Right.
And that was, the live streams are the bread, and everything else you had in between would describe your sandwich. How would you, what kind of sandwich would these years be? What would you call it?
What kind of real sandwich would it be?
I guess, yeah. If you had to make it,
it would
analogy,
be
it
a caprese.
With the mozzarella and the
basil.
Do you put the balsamic on it?
Oh, of course.
Good bread is the most important thing for that. And then if you have good bread.
A good foundation.
It's like anything in life. You got to have a good foundation for it to really soar.
Mm. Facts.
Epic. Live stream Saturday, 8:14.
Yes.
8:30. Noonchorus.com/pink-naval. Tremendous. Let's keep it going. You answered a lot of questions, and I think a lot of your Epic Club members will be very, very excited to divulge into those details.
Me too.
And I saw on Twitter you were talking about, you're like, yo, like anybody in media, like I'd love to talk about this stuff. So I'm glad you're getting to express these.
Oh, yeah. I've been pushing it. I've been trying to. I'm really proud of this work, and I think it's an interesting idea. I think it's very raw.
I've never heard of it. Like, I don't think of a live stream being put to audio and then put to wax.
Right. So I'm just trying to make it, like, trying to give it as much attention as I'm able to, you know, in all the different pockets of culture that I've got, you know, my foot in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll get to these endeavors. I want to almost keep the story going from your last appearance here, because last time you were here, you had just dropped Giraffe Track. In my opinion, a fantastic album all the way through.
Thank you.
How was the reception for that project in the months after and the time after?
To be honest, underwhelming.
Really?
In my opinion, yeah.
Explain.
Well, I don't know. I just think it's a result of the current state of our universe. I did not get to tour that record or do anything with that record.
That's so big to tour, yo.
I know. It is big to tour. I was really hoping I would be able to, but... You know, it wasn't really in the cards, and I think in a different reality, Draft Track would have been a bigger record, but I'm still super proud of it, and I think it's, like, I still think it's my best record.
It's really, really good.
Epic is very, very good, but I will always have a special place for Draft Track.
Well, conceptually, artists, you can really make, you know, an album that pulls at the heartstrings when you incorporate elements of childhood.
Right.
Anyone can do that, in my opinion, though, because I think it's just we're all so consumed by our early memories in life and nostalgia, and a lot of your childhood psychological makeup can make up, you know, a lot of your concrete worldviews from, like, the ground up, in a sense, as an adult. All that being said, though, when you combine that type of element with just a really well-executed hip-hop performance and musical performance, it's like, shit, not only is like these, are these dope songs, like, when I hear The Wind Chimes, I believe, on that album, right? Or I hear the conversations about, like, a dog peeing somewhere, I think, or...
Oh, yeah, the curtain.
Yeah, the curtain. Yeah, just, you just hear little things, and that's almost what I was saying about, like, when you have your use of sound bites, you just make me think, like, oh, like, I hear this sentence... What is this in context to? And then my brain puts a whole different story about, like, what that's referencing in a sense. And that's why I love that record for anybody at home who wants to go check one out. I mean, for sure, Giraffe Track has a lot of really cool thematic elements, but also this fucking music's great and great features on it. A prequel almost to Pink Pound with one of the songs, too.
Yes, that was my idea, foreshadowing.
Skip it, smacks.
Yeah. That's a reference to playing with a skip it in my house and hit my sister in the face with it because she was laying on the ground.
There we go.
Right, skip it, smacks.
Tremendous.
The song's about me and my sister, yeah.
That's a beautiful thing. That's right. What I mean, you know, dope track.
Right.
Alludes to 1 pound. You're very cinematic in the sense that you, like, you know, you tease these things. Like.
Thank you, I try. I try.
Storytelling. It's a great storytelling technique.
Thank you.
Yeah, I just want to shout out Giraffe Track, even if you feel like the reception maybe was underwhelming. It's a really great record.
Yeah, but I think more so it's just a result of the world, which I really can't blame or I really can't dwell on, you know?
That's good.
Just trying to keep it moving forward. Like, honestly, if you want to get some super secret data, this whole project was going to be for Giraffe Track. I was going to do Giraffe Track live all the way through.
Whoa.
I wanted to, like, go back to it, you know, and, like, try again with Giraffe Track.
But then you got the bug to just rap some new
I got the bug to do the new shit. I got some guidance from the homie, and I was just thinking, or, you know, the idea of, you know, letting things just go. I can't dwell on it. I got to keep it moving forward and just go on to the next thing and hope that it's bigger than the last, you know?
Great segue. Before I get to that segue, go cop Giraffe Track on Bandcamp.
Thank you.
But... let's ride that segue into this plot point. After Giraffe Track and before Epic, you put out another project earlier this year in February. Right. In the late-ish winter months. We were looking for spring, we were looking for hope, and then there the two of you appeared. Shining in the shadows with the motherfucking album Pink Pound, the project Pink Pound. I mean, it's such a quick project, but to me it feels like an album because there's not like a wasted second on it, you know?
Thank you.
Yeah.
And that was the idea in my brain, at least.
Like, you don't have to have the same chorus 3 times and, like, 2 different bridges. Not that I don't like long song structure, but sometimes when you just be like, I'm a snap, the beats can snap. I mean, to me, it's tight raps, tight flows, tight pockets, tight beats. You add in, like, you sprinkle in some zany pop culture references up in there, too. Mm-hmm. And it's just one of my favorite projects that's probably come out in 2021.
Thank you.
I listen to a shit ton of music, so there's probably, like, you know, several dozen that I put on a list that I'm going to keep listening to forever. Uh-huh. But I'm going to be listening to Pink Pound forever.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And honestly, what's interesting is doing a record like Epic, Pink Pound kind of put me in that direction. Because I had put so much, I had spent literally a year on Giraffe Track. I spent a whole year calculating that record, and it didn't really do the way I thought it would. And then I spent maybe, I don't know, 2 months on Pink Pound, and it in terms of numbers, it's double the amount of plays. Wow. As Giraffe Track. I mean, you could say that's because of, like, the length of the songs, but I would say it's really just because of the way that it's presented. I don't know, maybe I'm wrong. But then I just got to thinking, like, maybe people just want to hear me really rap my ass off sometimes. And, like, that's okay, you know? And I want to do that, too. So let's just go in that direction, you know?
Hell yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And it's been a little easier because I started a rock band, like an emo band, with my friend Mike.
So, Frisbee Club?
Yeah, First Passionate Frisbee Club. So I have less of a desire to blend those two genres and blend those two parts of my life in my rap music. So what I've been writing in terms of hip-hop has been a lot more traditional. A lot more, like, just really rapping.
16s.
Right.
Like Funk Flex, bars.
It's really been more like that. Yeah, yeah. It's really been more like that for me lately.
I'm picturing a pink navel, Funk Flex freestyling. Just go on YouTube one day and you assassinate the mic.
I would love that.
That'd be tremendous.
I would love
that's
to
the future
that.
I want to see. I don't need, not that I'm hating, but like I don't need to see like another like Dave East freestyle on a New York radio station. Not that Dave East doesn't have songs that I like, and not that he doesn't represent the New York sound, but sometimes it's just, I like when you see shit that just is like out of left field. Like, I just, sometimes you gotta break the mold sometimes, and that's my point. Keeping it different. Well, anyway, I want to get into maybe the just conception of Pink Pound before we perhaps move on. Because you have a little bit of history with, shout out 1 Pound, by the way, been on the podcast quite a few times, I think twice now, and just a dope 207 producer. Y'all had some history.
Right.
Through Soul Folk's beat invitational, I think. You had freestyled over a beat, right?
Well, our story actually begins far before that.
Whoa.
Yeah. I know 1 Pound from the New England DIY music scene. And we had played together on a number of occasions at places in Connecticut.
Yeah, because he went to school in CT, I believe.
Right, right. And there was a house venue there called Dennis. Shout out Dennis. Very, very cool house venue. Shout out Sarah. Shout out Sam. Shout out Sean. All the people that were a part of Dennis. Shout out Cheem, the band. Dennis, cool venue. Luke and I were both artists that made lo-fi beat music, but a lot of our friends made emo rock music. So we'd be booked on the same bills. You know, because we sounded similar, and then there'd be, like, some rock bands, you know?
What year is this?
2000 and, I don't know, 15, 16?
That's pretty early, yo.
Right.
Shit.
Right. 16, maybe. But, yeah, so it was some time ago. And then we also played together at a festival at a college in Connecticut that I don't remember the name of the college, but it was a pretty cool festival. So stuff like that. And then I moved to Maine, did not know that 1 Pound lived in Maine. And I was like, whoa, you live here?
Whoa, really?
Right. I was like, this is crazy. Like, I already knew you.
That is wild.
Right. And then, yeah, I freestyled on one of his beats at the Invitational. That beat ended up being the song Selfie Mode. Yeah, I just hit him up and was like, please send me beats. You're the best. And I had him for a while, and I just wrote to like half of them. And I was actually writing some of the verses while I was working on Draft Track. So it was kind
of, you had mentioned, I believe, like one like works even on the early that podcast we did last year.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, seeing how Skip and Smacks made it onto Giraffe Track, like the rest of them were already like in my files. I was already writing to them. I think the one I wrote to the most recently was TV Shows or Two Barts, maybe.
Yep.
Yeah. Those two I wrote a little more into the future. But most of it was written before Giraffe Track even came out. And yeah, we've been homies for a while. I love the beats, love the vibes and the energy that 1 Pound gives off. So I've always been trying to, I've been trying to work with him since before I even moved to Maine. So
that's wild, yo.
Oh, yeah.
Shout out Pink Pound. Shout out 1 Pound. Did you get any good remixes and like flips? Because I remember you put the acapellas out.
Yeah, we put out the acapellas, the instrumentals. Interesting remixes. My favorite remix I got was the one that you sent me.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
My Paul Simon one?
The Paul Simon flip is so epic.
I want you to describe it to the people.
Okay,
almost
so,
as like a, because I know I made it, but
It is the karaoke version of You Can Call Me Al, right?
Exactly, the instrumental, yeah.
It's the karaoke version of You Can Call Me Al with my acapella over it, and that's it.
I chopped two different songs. I might have,
too. Oh, you did?
And I'm pretty sure amazing. I put, like, different ad-libs when you're going, like, like in
the
background.
You cut that up?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's so awesome. Because
those fit the Paul Simon carefree energy so perfectly.
I love Paul Simon.
And then I know that your dad's a Declassified fan.
Oh, Cookie.
Go.
I'm a Cookie fan.
So I had,
I'm a Cookie's Declassified fan.
That should have been the show to TBH. But
I mean, Patrick just got his own show. Why can't Cookie
have
his own show?
Finally, these B characters are becoming the A characters,
right,
as they
precisely,
should.
Precisely.
It goes back to the Funk Flex conversation I was having. You got to shake it up. Different shit on the radio. Different shit. Regardless, there's an episode of Cookie's Declassified School Survival Guide where Cookie has this entrance where there's like a rap song for him.
Be Cookie.
Yeah. And the flip has that at the end of it too.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I don't know if you caught that. It's like, Be Cookie. And then it's like, and then it ends.
I love Be Cookie.
I'm glad you liked that. I was high as hell one night, and I was like, I feel like if I flip Paul Simon into this, it could work. And it kind of did.
Yeah, Paul Simon's amazing. Cookie's amazing. Yeah. I have a special place in my heart for those black sidekick nerds.
Mm.
Yeah, Wade, Cookie, don't remember his name from Danny Phantom, that guy.
Oh, shit, I forgot about Going Ghost, dude. Holy smokes.
Yo, Go Ghost, Danny Phantom. Everybody will get that on Saturday. I have a song called Danny Phantom now.
Really?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Damn.
I'ma let it free like butter free when she goes ghost ash, Danny Phantom.
I feel like I heard you freestyle that on IG once.
Yeah, yeah. I've been alluding to Epic for a while. I just been spitting.
You're really out here. The marketing campaign is tremendous.
Oh, I've been trying harder than I ever have.
I love it.
Yeah.
You've also had some other great endeavors in 2021. You mentioned, obviously, Epic Club, your streams, Dev Inside, Dev Outside.
Thank you.
You've been on that toy grind.
Right.
You gifted me a toy at the end of 2020. Did you see it when I was chilling over there?
Oh, no. On
the
Which shelf one that I'm have? Pointing to.
It looks like some kind of animal. I forget. I don't know.
Oh, do you have a gorilla?
I might have a... It looks like a primate, yeah. I think.
Oh, you have a prototype. Yes. Unreleased figure.
Yes.
Yeah.
Allegedly.
As of right now.
And you got some hooky charms. Hookie.
Hoodie charms. I got my hoodie charms. I invented these charms that go on hoodie strings. That's my new thing right now.
How did you figure out the hole size?
Trial and error.
Did you get a drill, like a plastic drill bit?
Oh, no, it's 3D printed, my friend. I just...
Where'd you get the 3D printer at?
I purchased it.
That shit ain't cheap.
No, it isn't. Well, okay, so they do make affordable 3D printers.
Okay.
You can get a 3D printer for as cheap as... $120. Really?
What the fuck?
Which really, and public library here in Portland has a 3D printer. If you ever needed to print something, you could just go to the library.
I think I'm living in the era still where I first heard about 3D printing and it was this huge new thing.
No, it's super accessible.
Now it's way more accessible.
The one I have is pretty awesome. I saved a lot of money for it. It has done me well. I've had it for about a year and a half now. It's great. Lulzbot Mini V2 3D printer. I model it on my computer. My computer gets super hot because I have an old computer and I'm modeling a 3D object. And then I export it and I print it and I put them on a hoodie string.
Are there any similarities to the way you approach your charm and toy making when you compare them to the way you approach making music?
So, no, not all. It's completely different, and that's why I sought out an art form like
that's
that.
That's awesome.
Right.
You get to kind of leave that headspace in a sense.
Right, absolutely. It's completely silent when I'm working on toys. I don't listen to music when I'm doing it. I just think about the physical object.
That's a therapeutic event. Mm-hmm. I think when you can really focus on one thing, I view it almost like, you know, your conscious mind and your subconscious mind. The subconscious mind really controls everything in terms of, like, how we feel in a lot of ways, just the way I view everything, but... When it's hard to focus, it feels like, you know, a lot of your subconscious is getting almost like bleeding into your conscious mind. But when you can have like a task you just focus on, when you're just living in the moment, when you're just having fun, the only thing that's on like your aware mind is what you're doing. That's a great feeling, isn't it?
Hell yeah.
That's such a great feeling.
That's exactly what I was looking for with the toy making stuff, and it's been awesome. I love it.
Hell yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Voice acting is also an endeavor.
Voice acting, shout out Sagar, shout out Bill. Oh man, the cartoon, shout out Dave, shout out Reese. Wow, yeah.
Tremendous.
Rapscallions. Where can folks find that? Just search Rapscallions on YouTube. It's there, the pilot, the animatic pilot my friend wrote.
Boom.
My friend Andrew animated it. It's dope as hell. I hope we get to do more of it, you know? I love it. It's a show about a bunch of kids and they enter a alternate dimension where their rapping ability has physical power.
And Homie Makes Beats, who orchestrated that, right?
Oh, yeah. Sagar Bumsweat. Raps and makes beats.
Homie raps?
Bumsweat Beats. Oh, yeah.
I've heard tremendous beats, to be honest. I believe there's a Rap Ferreira in Bumsweat song, right?
There is.
Which is dope. What's that
called? There's a Dot Dev Bum Sway song. There's several .dev Bum Sway songs.
How have I not heard those?
You can look up Singing Bird in the Wind, I think the name of the song is. Huh. Mia Sagar.
I can obviously
rapping
see
on a song together.
Oh, it's on his Bandcamp. That's probably why.
Hell yeah.
That's illy.
Oh, yeah. We got some songs.
That's dope. Bum Sway.
We got
dope.
One in the cannon, too.
For real?
Yeah, I'm not sure if it's out yet, but yeah, we got one in the cannon.
Stay tuned.
Right.
In the chamber.
Right.
I love it. And then, what's the full name of your band? Is it? It's not just Frisbee. It's
First Passionate Frisbee Club.
First Passionate Frisbee Club.
I know,
another
kind of mouthful, but...
endeavor.
And I have that in the canon too. I'm waiting for Epic to sort of be out and be on its way for me to really put all my attention towards putting out First Passionate Frisbee Club's record. But the record's done. The record's been mastered. The record is ready to go.
Whoa.
Yeah, so.
That's really in the chamber.
Oh, yeah. It's like ready to upload. Mm-hmm.
I just love to see your versatility.
Thank
Keep
you.
Going.
Thank you, my friend.
You just got back from L.A. too recently, right?
Yes.
What was that trip like?
Flew out to L.A.
You performed, right?
I performed a song.
What was it like performing a song again for people?
It was very exciting.
Yes.
Got caught up in all the hullabaloo, you know? Yep. I was very excited. It was very fun. Many smiling faces, many happy eyes.
A lot of Epic Club members maybe in attendance.
A few. I would say a few.
That's pretty cool to go to LA because you're like me. You're from a little town on the east coast right. in New England.
Right.
On the beach.
And now I'm in the big city.
Now you big city pink naval here.
Big city naval, LA bound naval. No, LA it was bound. Fun. I'd only been in California maybe for like a day before this, but I spent a whole week out there.
Damn.
Put some work in. Setting the stovetop on high heat for a future endeavor.
Yeah.
So
I'm envisioning maybe some productions involved. Maybe is there some type of
it's like the next
collaborational realms.
Collaborational realms of the next.
I'll talk to
world.
You off mic because I got I got an idea I want to throw, but I don't want to put it on because
right,
I don't
want right.
I'm
right.
excited if it's
we'll
what I
that.
Think it is. Regardless, hell yeah, feels good to be back. Did you?
It's great. Traveling was great. Being on a plane was kind of nerve-wracking, but the people working there were sick and super cool. Not sick, like ill, but very nice.
They were terminally ill.
terminal.
That's another pun.
They were very nice.
There's a lot of double entendres there. I feel like there's like that could be a bar.
Oh, terminally.
Terminally ill.
I can't with you. You got to start rapping.
Yeah. Oh, we can get it. How did it feel when Rap Ferreira asked you to... be the first voice you'd hear on Bob's Son? Or did he even divulge that with you?
Oh, I knew I was recording something, but at the time I did not know it would be the beginning of the album.
That's how
or maybe
it starts.
Or maybe I did? I don't know. Basically, I was in the shop, the beat got playing, and I was like, you should just like intro, like say something crazy.
It's a great introduction.
And I was like, all right. So then I just said what I said, you know, be Bob's son, do Bob's son, verb Bob's son. And I thought that
activate
was fun.
Bob's son.
Right. Activate Bob's son. Yeah. No, that was fun. I feel blessed, you know.
That was really awesome.
It's so fun to collaborate with my homies and my friends. And
yeah.
That was such a fun environment when those takes were recorded. We were having so much fun and laughing. And yeah, that's what it was all about.
Yeah. It's a dope
really
album.
Really
too.
Moment.
Go call Bob's son right now. Came out in January.
Awesome album.
Really dope. I can't find that's the motherfucking first album that really came out all 2021, I feel like. Came out on New Year's Day, feel like. That's some good shit,
yes,
yo.
Did.
There's a lot of, and there's, I think, a secret Safari Al verse on there, too. I don't think it's credited. Like, you don't see it.
Oh, yeah. It's on, a secret. Little secret.
Little Yamships flash seed, is that what it is?
Little secret joint.
It's a tremendous joint. All tremendous. All right. Shall we hit some rapid-fire questions before we kind of end it?
Hit me with them.
Who's an artist you got into heavy the last year or so?
Artist I got into really heavy the last year or so would probably be... shout out Jiraiya.
Ooh, I've never heard of him.
Jiraiya is a musician from New York. Makes really crazy, fun, kind of like pop rockish music.
Sweet.
Been doing wonders on the internet. Big fan. Big fan of Jiraiya.
Love it.
Yeah.
Favorite season?
Oh, fall. all day.
Coming up. Oh, and yeah. Us New England youngins, fall means a lot, at. Yo. You falls. Get that foliage, you get those leave tourists, whatever they're
yeah,
called.
Yeah, I mean, we're from where all the scary stuff happens, so Halloween's a big deal.
Yeah, that's why I love Halloween, because it reminds me of the history of where I'm from.
Mm-hmm.
I don't fuck with a lot of American history. I don't fuck with a lot of American tradition, just because of, I don't like the way that, historically speaking, a lot of top-down mainstream culture in America whitewashes itself and really, you know, puts a blanket over a lot of, like, the fucked up stuff that happened while people are trying to have fun. Like, Thanksgiving is a perfect example of it. Like, just clearly, the list goes on and on and on. We know how problematic humans are in general, and then throughout history, what this country's been built on. But my point is, although I'm not a big fan of, like, you know, being like, oh, we should love, like, you know, tradition in the past. Like, I'm more about, you know, let's do some new shit. Let's learn from our mistakes and make a better path for the future. In terms of, like, history, though, just, like, thinking about, like, oh, this land has been, like, used by people for 400 years. Mm-hmm. Like, there was schools here. Like, there was lives here. Like, right. Even if I don't fuck with the culture, like, to think that, like, in a term, like, a sense of time, like, history, like, that always just fascinates me that, like, there's been, like, culture out here. Not the coolest at all, but since, like, the 1600s.
There's something going on, yeah.
It's kind of weird to think
something
about.
Something going on. Yeah.
Well, like, when motherfuckers, you know, my age, sipping, like, rum, at 17 in the same woods that I was doing that shit, just weird to think about the history of our time as a species and as a country. Regardless, foliage in New England is tremendous.
Yes.
Shout out to fall.
Quite.
What's an anime you could watch over and over and over and over again?
Hunter x Hunter.
Favorite Busta Rhymes song?
Oh, favorite Busta Rhymes song is, what's it called? Still Shining.
Who you think is the strongest physically in Rubiyat? In, like, in terms of maybe like bench pressing or something?
Oh, Rory. All day.
He's the swole one?
Yeah.
Venue you still want to play at?
Venue I still want to play at? Oh, I want to play at Madison Square Garden. You ever heard of this place?
Is that in, that's like in New York, right?
Yeah, the big one?
Yeah, I think.
Yeah, I want to play there.
It's like, that's that little, like, Rose Garden in the middle of Central Park, Madison Square.
Yeah, Madison Square. In Futurama, it's called the Madison Cube Garden.
Madison Cube Garden. Futuristic.
Right.
What would the pink naval fast food meal look like?
The pink naval fast food meal would be so... I would demand a new item. I would demand that they do something new.
Just not like, give you a dipping sauce that you traditionally don't get served.
No, I want it to be a completely new item. I would demand... No, fuck everything I just said. Mine would be bring back chicken selects.
What are chicken selects?
McDonald's tenders. Chicken tenders.
Oh.
They had chicken selects for a while, but now they're gone. But I would say my meal brings back chicken selects.
I got another one. Freestyle, random, rapid-fire question. If you could bring back any fast food item of lost past, what would it be?
The KFC Double Down.
Does that have the... Is that that monstrosity that had the fried chicken on top and bottom?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
It'd be the KFC Double Down.
I'm really impressed that you said that, because I was ready for some relic of Dunkin' Donuts past.
Oh, well, if we're talking about relics of Dunkin' Donuts past...
The French Toast Twist was some shit.
French Toast Twist was good.
I feel like we've had this conversation.
Donut fries are good. I miss those.
Oh, those do sound good.
Donut fries are good. But what I'll say is some places still have these. If you seek them out, you will find them. But they can be hard to come by. The bagel stick. The bagel twist. The Asiago bagel twist.
Asiago's gas.
Right. And Dunkin' used to have a bagel... twist. It was like a bow tie, but it was bagels, and they would heat it up for you, and they would give you cream cheese to dip it in, and this was very good. And it used to be a Dunkin' Donuts wide item, but now I'm kind of in the shits with Dunkin' Donuts lore. But basically, franchisees can have a manager's choice, right? And that is an item on the menu that is usually not brought to all Dunkins. And each franchisee can choose what that item is. So some Dunkins do have the bagel twist. Still, because it is that franchisee's manager's choice.
How'd you figure this out?
Because I used to work at a Dunkin, my friend.
Oh, that's way more. I'm like, what documents are you getting your hands
on? I'm like typing out the secret codes.
This
on
makes
the
so much more sense, because obviously, I mean, we're new from New England, and we're human, and we're all addicted to sugar. Those two things make everyone from this area pretty much love something on Dunkin' Donuts' menu.
Right, but I think that liking Dunkin' Donuts really is nothing about the food. It has nothing to do with the food. It's like a cultural thing. It's like a stance. It's like, fuck you and your yuppie, you know.
In terms of popularity in the region?
Yes, I'm talking about New England specifically.
Oh, yeah, it's like I wake up, I get my fucking Dunkin' in my styrofoam cup, and I go to the job site.
Right.
That's exactly
it. It's like, I am a working class citizen. I don't fuck with your yuppie bullshit at your Starbucks. I drink the shit coffee, and
even
I
though,
love
like,
it.
You're both supporting chains at the end.
Right, even though it's still a corporation. I mean, it's franchised, but yeah, whatever.
There's got to be Dunkin' Donuts in other countries now at this point, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But regardless, I mean, if you bring me, let's say like I'm on a road trip and I haven't had anything to eat, I'm going to go and get the turkey sausage power breakfast sandwich and a medium cold brew black and be happy as fuck.
Swag.
Because there's always, I mean, I'm everyone's different, don't get me wrong, but I'm telling you, there is something on that Dunkin' Donuts menu that will keep me getting at least one or two things probably until I die. Like, I don't like to support chains too much, but I can't like... You tell
what
me,
I'm
like,
saying. That's what I'm saying. You don't even like chains, but you still hit Dunkin' because you are a New England person at
exactly.
heart. Like, it's truly a New England
a
phenomenon.
Cold New England morning, you get a hot coffee and two orders of the hash browns.
Come on, what is better than that?
And you get a little ketchup and then, like, you're drinking, like, the... or not drinking. Oh, nasty. You're dumping your hand in the grease pocket in the corners of the bag to get one.
Less, my friend.
They might have some of the best hash browns. You get me off topic. It's rapid fire. Tremendous. Pink Naval fast food meal coming soon. The Naval selects. What's a current hip hop trend that you enjoy?
Oh, a current hip hop trend that I enjoy. Let's see. Trend. That's an interesting word.
Just
trend.
Like something that's popping right now. Like when I wrote this question, I thought of just for my answer to be. I like the fact that trend's a tough word to describe it. Like, or even kind of like, you know, part of the culture. I guess is kind of be the best way to describe it, but. Something I really like about the culture, or like a trend, would be the fact that we can have a lot of DIY releases for physicals. Like, if there's an artist I like, I can pay them direct money. They may have to give a fee to another entity, but I can buy, you know, a vinyl right from Pink Naval.
Mm-hmm.
I love that fact because vinyl is like fucking expensive back in, you know, pre-vinyl revival. And the fact that, like, there's some artists I love that are independent, and I'll pay, like, $35 with shipping for an LP.
Right.
That's dope as hell to me. So that's kind of where my mind was.
Okay, fuck yeah. That's interesting. Yeah, I think for me, I'm going to go more commercial. Mm. I like these, I guess it's a trend more in just pop culture right now, music culture. I like these in a video game performances. I fuck with this.
That's cool.
It
is pretty wild that you can be playing in a video game.
I like this idea.
What video game would you play in?
What video game would I play in? I would love to somehow play in like a first, like a single player game, like a not multiplayer game. Like, like, you know what I mean? Like somehow my performance gets edited.
Jack and Daxter.
Yeah. Like Jack and Daxter 2. Like
they remaster it only to have a Pink Naval performance.
They re-release Jack 2. People have been begging them to re-release Jack 2 for the better part of a decade.
They did it with Spyro and Crash. I bet they're going to do that shit soon enough. With other
right,
classics.
And it's interesting because they did it with Crash, so clearly Naughty Dog is down.
They're down.
Right? But they just don't want to touch Jack for some reason.
Soon. Once they figure out they're going to make money off it, they probably will.
I hope.
I feel
people
like they probably
it.
Could, though.
They could easily make money off Jack. I want it. People want it. But yeah, I would play a show in Jack and Daxter too. But I'm alluding to like Lil Nas X playing in Roblox. That's amazing.
Well,
that's the funniest thing I've ever heard.
Didn't I mention it earlier too that like Travis Scott played in Fortnite?
Travis Scott played in Fortnite, and just the other week, Ariana Grande played in Fortnite.
What?
Yeah, dog.
That's wild. See, Travis Scott kind of makes sense because there's like, youth culture.
And I watched it. The performance was cool as fuck. Cause it's all these like crazy animations,
she's
and they do
huge.
Yeah, they put her in the game, but she's like giant, and you can like follow her around. That she's like performing
that's
on the world.
Wild.
It's so cool. I love that shit.
Holy shit.
Oh yeah.
What's a current hip hop trend that you don't like?
A current hip hop trend that I don't like, when really famous rappers, become a part of that thing where it's like, oh, you want to be a part of my mixtape? I'm making a mixtape. DM
me. Then they send you like the...
Then they send you the thing.
The block, 365.
Right.
I think that's what it
is. Right, yeah. That's my least favorite trend right now because it happened to Busta's Instagram.
Yeah.
It happened to Busta on Instagram.
Oh, actually, I already asked you favorite Busta rhyme, so I was like, whoa, next segue. I thought my brain...
you thought you had it in the bag.
Eh, whatever. Time's relative.
Still shining.
Still shining. We're trying, yo. Hell yeah. Don't be scamming, yo. There's got to be a better way to get some paper. Pull a Styles P and get a juice bar. Get some crypto. Get some.
Yeah, pull a Styles P and, or yeah, or make a record that you don't make copies of and sell like Wu-Tang. I don't know, like whatever you want.
Yeah. All right. If you could produce for any MC, who would it be?
If I could produce for any MC, who would it be? Sha Ray, my friend Kayla. Sha Ray.
Are they in Rubia?
Oh, yeah.
They snap.
Oh, yeah.
I think you said that last time, too. Last question. Favorite dish you've cooked up recently?
Oh, okay. So I'm like such a plain Jane person. I like the most normal, plain things. And I also am historically a very picky eater.
Mm.
I've spent most of my life having safe foods. And just in the past maybe 6 months have I really begun to like branch out. I had eggs for the first time in the past 6 months.
That's wild.
Right. Like I had not eaten an egg before maybe 3 months ago.
Mm.
And I love making omelets now. It's very fun.
Hey.
I enjoy it. It's a good time.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Omelet.
There we
but
go.
But also, I've been making this chicken and rice bowl that I like.
I love a good... I call them protein bowls.
And it's simple. Yeah. It's simple. I'm just chicken, scallions, onions, carrots, broccoli, and the chicken.
And the rice.
And the rice.
And then you get maybe a little seasoning or some sauce in there.
Oh, it's seasoned with all the shit. Adobo.
Yeah, you got to put a bunch of shit.
Soy.
That's the key.
Sauce.
Yo, I like hot sauce too. Like certain...
Bet.
Black beans, like a nice southwestern chicken
mm-hmm.
with some yellow rice and some fucking hot sauce.
Oh, hell yeah. Hell yeah.
Upcoming shows. We have the live one, Epic. One more promotion for that. It's going to be...
Yeah, come see Epic 8:30 on noonchorus.com/pink-naval. Tickets are $12. You can even buy a ticket after the show has aired and still watch it if you'd like.
There we go.
You know, you can support in many different ways. I will be launching the pre-order for the record, the vinyl record, at the show. So if you buy a ticket to the show, you will have first dibs on the vinyl copies.
Hell yeah.
Right. All stuff like that is happening. After that, I'm playing some shows in real life.
Arm & Hammer.
Arm & Hammer on October 10th. At the Middle East Upstairs, before in Boston. Before that, September 9th in Brooklyn with my homie Rory. We are playing a show at Elsewhere Zone 1 upstairs. It's an outdoor rooftop venue. So if you're someone who's only looking to go to outdoor shows, that one's outdoors.
Mm.
We're also playing another outdoor show on September 11th at Somerville, Massachusetts, Once Somerville X Boynton Yards, that's like an outdoor parking lot, converted into an outdoor venue. Really awesome spot. Yeah, those are my three big on IRL shows that I'm playing, but there are a few down the line that I'm getting ready to announce in the future.
Hell yeah.
Yep.
Where can peeps reach you?
You can reach me. Just go to my website, epicclub.dev. You know, you can search Pink Naval. Somehow I have dominated the SEO. I don't know how. There is an orange called the Pink Naval, but I have surmounted it.
Wow.
Right.
You beat,
I beat
net neutrality.
Fruit. I beat a fruit.
No, there's no net neutrality. So you beat the system.
I beat the system.
Tremendous.
Right.
Epic, 814, go cop tickets. We got one more question if you're ready.
Do it.
Well, before that, best of luck too in the move.
Thank you.
Wherever the road takes you.
Thank you.
Whatever scene you find yourself a part of is... Gonna be lucky to have you, homie. So
thank you very much. I really appreciate that.
Where will Pink Naval be 1 year from now?
Ooh, hopefully 1 year from right now, I am posted up in Spanish Harlem with my partner, and we have a big ass dog, and we're like walking our dog, and everyone's looking at us, and they're like, "Whoa, look at those two
dog people!" Spanish yeah. Harlem, maybe some Santeria candles, and then. Summer dad beer navel.
Oh yeah, I don't smoke weed anymore, so I'm just like beer guy now.
Tremendous.
I'm like, give me the IPA.
I'm liking
the
this.
India pale ale.
Well, to end it on a very cheesy note, it all sounds very epic. So
epic.
Epic. Look for the album. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week. Shout out Yardie Ting and much love. Peace.
Peace.
Shout out Pink Navel for coming through Benny's crib. Epic. The live stream performance and album comes out tomorrow. Long live the Rubaiyat. Thanks for listening. Take care of yourself. Keep breathing. And shout out Yardington. We'll see you next week. Peace.